Okay, so I promise this morning is the last Sunday we'll be talking about masks for quite some time. I'm not saying I'll never preach another sermon on masks, but I am saying it's going to be quite a while before I bring this subject back up again. Whether you've appreciated this sermon series or hated it, today is the last Sunday for this sermon series. But there are a few more important things that I want to say about masks before we wrap it up. And this morning we're doing so by listening to God's word. And we're thinking about what life looks like after the masks are gone. So I invite you to hear God's word today, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It's in your order of worship. You can follow along in your scripture, your Bible as well. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Paul is writing to the Christians in Rome, and in just these two verses, he says some powerful words. Paul writes, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will." May God bless the reading of this word this morning. I would submit to you this morning that in these two verses, just a few words, Paul describes how good life can be. He describes what life can look like after we take off our masks. Of course, Paul doesn't mention the words mask or the word mask, but he does describe a mask-free life, the kind of life God wants us to live. And I want you this morning to think with me about the benefits that Paul describes about living this kind of mask-free life. What happens after the masks are gone? Well, here's part of what I read in what Paul is saying. Number one, without mask, living the kind of life God wants us to live, we are able to live to our true potential. We're reminded in this passage of scripture what our true potential really is. A transformed life. And the reality is that kind of life simply is not possible. It is never discovered when we live behind masks. In all of our lives, there are many people who have the same skill sets as us. Maybe some have better, stronger skills than us. But no one else brings to life the same personality, creativity, spirit of life that you are able to bring. That's something other people simply cannot match. And the irony is, when we wear the mask of life that we've been talking about the last several weeks, we cover up those unique parts of us that God created us to be, the parts that God created to shine forth in full radiance. In our text this morning, Paul challenges the Christians in Rome, and he challenges us to live up to our true potential as believers, as children of God. And what he says is necessary is a complete change of our minds. That is what is needed in order for us to experience this kind of life. We might describe it as a new ordering, a new structure for life. This ordering for life is the work of God. It is brought out of the chaos that we often experience in our lives. Paul said something similar in his letter to the Christians in Corinth. In that letter, he said the same message in a different way. He said, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creation. The old is gone. The new is here." A new structure, a new order, a new way of living. It's a transformed life. Dr. Wayne Oates, who has been our guide during much of this sermon series, writes, "I would interpret this new creation process as one in which you and I appoint the Lord Jesus Christ as our teacher. We bring our disordered lives under the scrutiny of Jesus' instructions. We let God transform our minds, our lives into a new creation. We present ourselves to God and enroll ourselves in the instruction of Jesus Christ. That's what the writer of Proverbs was writing about in that scripture reading that we read earlier in our service that Logan read. And that scripture passage, I won't read the whole thing again, but when he talks about the wisdom of God coming into our lives, he's talking about living this transformed, new structure, new ordered life. He says, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." And he ends that section by saying, "For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul." In other words, you will experience this new structure, this new order, this transformed way of living. And it is only, Paul says, when we give ourselves fully to Christ and allow that transformation to happen that we are able to live to our true potential. That gift from God being our greatest selves is one of the strongest reasons for us to remove our masks. But another reason I find inherent in these verses is another great benefit of living the life God wants us to live without these masks is relief. Relief. It is exhausting to live an inauthentic life. Let me say that again. It is exhausting to live an inauthentic life. Why do you think so many people today go through life so tired, so drained, with lacking energy and enthusiasm, apathetic in their approach? Maybe for many Christians, it is because of this very fact. We are burdened with the mask that we put on. It is such a relief to experience life taking off those masks and being the person God created us to be. It is exhausting to live an inauthentic life. We put on one or two or 10 masks and we go through our lives, our days, and then we take them off and we put some more on again, and it's exhausting. And worst of all, we sometimes forget who we are with all the different masks that we wear. Comedian and actress Fanny Brice explained, "Let the world know who you are, not as you think you should be, because sooner or later, if you are posing, you will forget the pose, and then, where are you?" We learned last week there is freedom when the masks come off. That freedom comes when we finally say to God, "God, I am so tired of wearing these masks. I am so tired of being inauthentic. I am so tired of being who the world wants me to be. I need your help to be transformed." That relief comes, according to Paul, when we present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. To the Greek mind, the body was something to be put aside. The body was a shackle. The body was a prison house. What mattered in the Greek mind was the spirit. The body was to be despised and ashamed of. But for the Christian, Paul says, our bodies belong to God as much as our souls belong to God. Our bodies are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. In fact, the beauty of the incarnation is that God became human, a body in physical form. So one scholar writes, "We are to hand over our bodies to God in a manner resembling the way the people of Israel came to the temple to present their offerings to God." We present our bodies to God in the same way we present our offerings. Listen, we can't do that when we wear the masks of the world. Paul teaches that offering ourselves, our bodies to God, is our true and proper worship. Think about that. That word worship or service in some of your translations, it literally means to give your life to something. It literally means that to which you dedicate your whole life. Let me ask you, what is your life dedicated to? What is it that you are committed to? True worship, Paul says, is offering your body to God in every act you do, every day of your life. Our true self, not our masked self, our true self worships not just through offering a long prayer or going through an order of worship. Those things are important, but real worship happens when we offer ourselves, our true selves, to God on a daily basis. Paul contrasts that by talking about the word conform. This word Paul uses, conform, it literally means our outward form. Our outward form, Paul talks about, is constantly changing. It is constantly altering. Our outward form does not look the same when we are 17 as it does when we are 70. It is constantly changing, constantly evolving. But Paul says, so don't try to match your outer form to the world. Don't try to be like a chameleon that changes colors based upon its surroundings. Don't go with the world. Don't wear the masks the world wants you to wear. Don't be what the world decides you should be. In other words, sometimes as Christians, Paul says, we find ourselves completely indistinguishable from the world around us. We have conformed to all that is around us in our life. We simply fit into the picture. We fade into the scene. That's conforming, altering our outer form just to fit in. Paul says instead, we should be transformed. The word Paul uses for transformation, a Greek word, is familiar to many of us. It is the word metamorphosis. The basis of that word is morphe. And morphe is not focused on our outer form. Morphe is our core. It is our essence. It is who we truly are in our inner selves. So Paul is saying that this true worship, this true service for God, it happens when our inner form, our morphe, is transformed into the likeness of God. It's not concerned with the outer form. It is our inner essence and core. It is when we live a life dominated by Christ, by the Holy Spirit, that inward change happens. And what happens inside begins to radiate to the outside. Now we live not a self-centered, but a Christ-centered life. Paul says when Christ comes into our lives, we become new people. The very center or essence of our lives becomes different. Our minds become different because we take on the mind of Christ. We take off the mask of the world and experience that relief of the transforming power of Jesus Christ. The last thing I see in these verses that helps us understand this benefit of living this life is healing. Healing. When we wear masks, we carve a piece of ourselves out. We withhold parts of ourselves because we deem them to be unworthy. We hide them away from the world. But we can't truly be healed. We can't truly be transformed in our life until we offer all the pieces of who we are. It's kind of like handing someone a broken vase and asking them to put it back together, but withholding two or three pieces of that vase. It's impossible for healing to happen. One person has written, "Masks make shallow what God has intended to be deep." Everything in our lives gets cheated when we choose to hide behind our masks. But when we take them off, we open ourselves to God's healing. And healing brings about holiness. In Paul's day, before a priest could ever function in priestly capacity, the priest was obligated to present himself in a consecrated condition before God. The priest was to be holy. In other words, the priest must renounce all of the old ways of life and be totally committed to God's will. So here is one way we make ourselves holy: by taking off our mask, by removing those things in our lives that have encouraged us to conform, to look to others, to blend into the world around us, rather than standing out as one who radiates forth the grace and love of God. See, Paul would say removing our mask is pleasing to God. That is when we offer our true selves to God, not a false image. We no longer blend into the scenery around us. We don't look like everyone else who is wearing the same mask. We are transformed into the likeness of Christ. And when that happens, God's love and God's grace radiates from us and touches everyone around us, putting away the old, embracing the new. One of you recently sent me an article. The title of the article was "In Search of the Normal." The premise of the article was how much we desire right now life to be like it used to be pre-pandemic. The following sentences in that article spoke to me. The writer says, normal, of course, is a myth. Each one, especially when we close the door, is bizarre. We barely understand ourselves and understand others even less. We spend our lives longing for success that we can't even define. We long for normal. There is so much we could say about those words, but here's the point to me. We do crave normal. We crave it, even though rationally we know normal does not exist. But as much as we want a return to normal, what I read in the scripture is maybe what we need the most is healing. Not normal, but healing, transformation, a new order that only God can bring about in our lives. God's healing creates within us this new structure, this new way of living, not a return to something that is gone, but transformation is healing. Transformation is the creation of something entirely new. See, here's the summary of our sermon series. We were not born wearing masks. At some point in our lives, we chose to put on masks. At some point in our lives, we have chosen, made a decision to cover up our true selves and to block the radiance of God's love and grace in all of our relationships. We made that choice. If we made the choice to put them on, we can make the choice to take them off. Here's a simple exercise. Think about a negative message you constantly tell yourself. Ask yourself whether or not it's true. More than likely, the answer is no. And if it is not true, ask yourself, why am I carrying that message? Why am I wearing that mask? And if I take it off, if I put it down, what will happen? The main risk we face in taking off our masks is the world's reaction. But is that any reason to live an inauthentic, exhausting life? Trying to be what others want us to be? Trying to look like everyone around us instead of who and what God intends us to be? Paul says, don't conform. Don't choose to look like everyone else. Instead, be transformed, living to your greatest potential. Experience the relief of putting down your mask, being healed into a new, transformed life. Paul says, don't pull your mask off halfway and then let the world scare you into putting it back on. The poet E.E. Cummings wrote, "The greatest battle we face as human beings is the battle to protect our true selves from the self the world wants us to become." So Paul says to us this morning, think about the mask you're wearing and take them off. Hold out your gifts to the world in a transformed way of living. No apologies, no shame, no regrets. For as the old saying goes, every creature has its rightful place in God's creation, and in that place, it becomes beautiful. In fact, through Christ, we not only become beautiful, we become transformed. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we are grateful this day for your word that challenges us to be who you have called us to be. Lord, give us strength and faith and courage to be your people every day of our lives and to live authentic lives in our faith through Jesus Christ. For we make this our prayer in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.